Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
This is our Greatest Commandment series. This is the session entitled Loving God with All Our Heart. And as we're on this journey of the Greatest Commandment, how do we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Today is kind of a banner session. Today is the love God with all our heart session. And what I want to do is I want to talk around it a little bit, but then I want to give us a lot of practical equipping from what the Bible says about how our heart works, about how we love God with our heart. You know, it's Jesus said those words, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he was thinking that each one of those realms looked different and that it was on purpose and that if you did it, you'd be better off. And you could actually be good at one and not even paying attention at all to another one. We want today to focus on what it looks like to love the Lord our God with all our heart. And I want to start with this thought process, that idea, loving God with all our heart. You can break it down to a simple phrase. It's all about where your affections are placed. The affections of your heart. The stuff that makes your heart go, ooh, I like that. The stuff that makes your heart leap. What you place your affections on is what your heart loves. If we want to love the Lord our God with all our heart, we got to get a hold of our affections. We got to be intentional. And I think that the Lord will give us power to do that as we aim in that direction. Well, before we go too far down that road, let's talk a little bit about the mystery of the heart, because it's an interesting place. Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10 says this. This is hard talk right here. If you want to know what's going on in you, you want to know why it's difficult sometimes, Jeremiah said this, under the anointing of the Lord, he said, the heart is deceitful above all things. Find something. Is it deceitful? Yeah, your heart's worse. Your heart is even more deceitful than that. Oh man, I was thinking about that bad guy in that movie. Your heart's even worse than the bad guy. It is deceitful above all things. Now, this is a warning. This is a reality check. It's deceitful above all things, and it's beyond cure. Who can understand it? That line, who can understand it? It means it's mysterious. Our hearts are mysterious waters. There's some aspects of our heart that are interesting. I, the Lord, search the heart, and I examine the mind. The Lord says, I peer into those interesting waters, those mysterious places inside of you. As I perceive them, I know them. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about what do we do with this heart. Because the heart being deceitful and being without cure means you better keep taking the medicine. It's actually better for us. I want you to hear me on this. It's better for us that our hearts, by their very nature, are beyond a cure moment. Because this keeps us leaning. If you were just cured, you're straight up, you're done with it. You had cancer, you got the treatment, you're never having to worry about cancer again, then you're never thinking about cancer. But the Lord actually wants us in the area of our heart to be looking to Him again, leaning on Him again. It's actually part of the whole journey that our heart is incurable, which requires constant relationship with the Lord. Because by constant relationship, we are able to deal with the deceitfulness. We're able to deal with the mysterious waters. Because did you notice in the same line, in the same phrase or verse, that God is identifying, your heart is so jacked up, you're in trouble. In the same phrase or verse, he says, but I search it, I know it, I can help you. There is a solution to your serious problem, and it's me. I am there with you, and I can help you navigate your heart. But it is mysterious. Now, here's if you want to just know the simplest way to identify, you have a good heart or do you have a bad heart? You got a heart that's in serious trouble? You got a heart that's leaning the right direction? Jesus made it so clear. This is beautiful. If you don't take anything else away today, take this away. Luke 8, verse 15. He says this, the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart. Okay? Okay, I want that. I want to be that guy. How do I be one with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and persevere producing a crop? Hear the word of God, pay attention to it, retain it, and then do it. Those with a good heart are those that take the word of God and apply it and respond to it. If that's you, you got a good heart. And I don't know about you, it's kind of scary. I can find myself in a spot where I'm like, yeah, that's me. And then 6 weeks from now, oh no, what happened? It's not me today. Well, help me, Lord, help me. It's beyond cure. You can't just set this thing right and it's done. It's the daily walk with Jesus. The area of the heart is mysterious. It's beyond cure. I really wish there was just a thing I could do and everything would be fine. That's not how it works. There's courses we can set that will help keep us in step. There's practices that we can have that can help us remind ourselves. But it's actually the current reality of this Bible verse. Hearing the word of God, retaining it, taking it to heart, and then doing it, which will wind up producing good fruit, will produce a crop. This is how we know. And so you just might even want to ask yourself the question today, do I give a rip about the Bible? Because if you don't, you got a bad heart, I'm sorry. You might go, okay, well, do I care about what the word of God says? Okay, I care. But do you retain it? Do you think about it? Do you keep it in your heart? Do you keep it in there? And then if you keep it in there, are you applying it so that you're actually following what it commands? Because this is how Jesus, who is the authority on the heart thing, he's the authority on what a good heart is. He says, this is actually how you can identify a good heart, a noble and a good heart. He says, the one that hears it, retains it, and does it. That's pretty strong. This is how we balance out that deceitful and incurable thing. I want you to learn to pray Romans 5:5. I want you to take this verse and pray it. Ask God to touch you. Maybe even here as I'm speaking Romans 5:5 over us. Maybe you do like stick your hand over your heart kind of thing and you pray, oh God, help me with this. It says, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Oh, Lord, pour your spirit, pour your love into my heart. Not once. I'm incurable. Pour your love again and again and again. When God is pouring his love into our hearts, he is helping us. This is something we want to be. We want to be praying. We want to be fellowshipping with this idea that we can talk to God. We can ask him to pour his love into our hearts. What a beautiful picture that is. Just think about your heart and like it's a glass heart with a hole in the top that he can pour stuff into. He's pouring love into that heart. It's just an empty glass jar at the beginning. He's pouring it in. It's this liquid love filling your heart. And then you carry that around. That's who we are. That's what we have. We have access to that. And actually, we're only able to love him to the degree that we're able to receive that love being poured in and recognize that it's in there. Sometimes you've got stuff you don't know you got, and if you don't know you got it, you're probably not using it. We need to be familiar with the fact that God pours his love into our heart, which then empowers us to be able to love him with all our heart. The deep work required in us, this subject of our affections. Remember, to love the Lord our God with all our hearts and mind and strength, the focal point today, to love him with our heart. It's about our affections. It's about what's going on in that heart. Where are we placing our affections? What do we love? What do we give ourselves to? Because our hearts are evil and in need of great help and strength. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. Says God will help us with this. Now, this verse is absolutely talking about salvation, but it doesn't end there. It's the continual work. This verse absolutely is talking about the moment that you decide, I'm going to give my life and my heart to Jesus, and I'm no longer going to be my own. I'm going to give it to him. I'm going to ask him to come do a work in me. But even after that work is done, Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. He said, slave to sin. He said, why do I do the things I don't want to do? Because your heart is incurable. So it's not just about a one-time moment. A one-time moment begins a relationship. A relationship requires continual interaction and dialogue. So let's look at this verse, yes, as salvation, but also as the work that the Lord wants to continually do to us and in us. The Lord your God, as Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart. The only way to love him with all our heart is that he would circumcise our heart. He would do a work. He would cut it. He would move. In order for our hearts to be able to love him, we have got to have the work of God touching us. But without getting real graphic, circumcision is cutting. Circumcision is cutting away. Circumcision's an owie. And for that to be a part of our lives, for our hearts to get owied by God, God owies. And we're signing up again and again and again for God to owie us in the heart. That's the way. This is the path that we have in Christ, because when he does, it empowers us to love him with all of our heart. Honestly, without that, there is no loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It requires us willing. It requires us bringing ourselves before him, and whatever language you want to use in this passage, it's circumcise my heart, God. Cut off stuff that shouldn't be there. Cut. I mean, it's not just sweetly remove. It's surgical procedure and blood. And do it again. Cut me good, God. Cut me good. It's asking the Lord to come and to circumcise our hearts, because without it, you can't love him with all your heart. So I want to tell you, part of the ache, part of the struggle that we have is we do not like that cut. We don't like it when the Lord puts his finger on something and says, I need you to deal with this. We don't like it when the Word of God speaks something that's in disagreement with our thought processes about our lives. Friends, we're wrong. He's God. He doesn't make mistakes. You're the dum-dum, not him. It's us. We're the ones with the issue. He says, but if we'll come before him and we'll say, Lord, do whatever work you want to do in me. Circumcise my heart. Cut the areas that you need to. I want you to read it again. So that you may love him with all your heart. If you're not vulnerable with the Lord, if you won't let him deal with the areas of your heart that are out of alignment, that are outside of what the Word of God says, that are in disagreement with his heart, his purposes, you can't love God. And you sure can't love him with all. And remember, the greatest commandment is to love God with all. You can't do the most important thing on the planet if you're unwilling to let God touch you and say and demand things of you, cut you. If you're unwilling to let God circumcise your hearts, you can't do the thing you were put on the planet for, to love the Lord your God with all your hearts and mind and strength. You can't do it. Ooh, that's intense. See, this whole relationship with God, it is awesome and terrifying. I mean, I figure whatever knife you'd come at me with would be smaller than what he comes at me with. He's just smarter and a better surgeon than you. He's got wisdom, but he has got purpose in this whole cutting thing when he comes and does that work in us. So I just want to encourage you, when you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, when you hear the Bible, when you hear a message, when you hear something and it's speaking to an area of your heart, you want to say, Lord, come and do whatever work you want to do there, because I recognize I can't love you unless I let you do this work in me. And for some of you this morning, that's your hang up. That's where you're at right now in your walk with God. You're stuck. And part of the reason you're stuck is because you refuse to let God deal with that area you don't want him to, you don't want him to deal with. It's too personal. It's too painful. It's too long. It's just who I am. None of that is true. He's God. Let him circumcise your heart. And then you'll be able to love him. You will find such freedom. There is no freedom in hanging on to whatever you're trying to hang on to that God is identifying to you is something he wants to deal with. It is baggage. It is holding you down. It is bondage. You're actually holding on to bondage and calling it a good thing. The Lord wants to circumcise that thing right off. And then he wants to empower you to be able to love him. And you'll find freedom in it. Well, as we go on this journey, here's another prayer. 2 Thessalonians 3:5. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and into Christ's perseverance. I want to focus on the into God's love part this morning. Let's pray. Oh God, direct my heart. I want to love you with all my heart. Direct my heart into your love. Direct my heart into what you say is good. Direct my heart into what will actually be beneficial. Direct my heart into your love. Direct my heart into ways that I can get more of your love. But don't leave me hanging here. Don't leave it up to me. I'm a mess. Direct my heart. Guys, this is a great prayer. Direct my heart into your love. You can also follow it up with into your ways, into your plans, into your will. All of those are good things too. But just focus on this thought process. I want to love you with all my heart. So God, direct my heart into your love. See, the subject of loving him with all of our heart is all about our affections. So we're actually saying, God, I've got an affections problem. I've got some issues in my affections. I actually affection some things I shouldn't affection. Help me direct my heart. You know he will. He'll help change your heart. He'll help change the stuff you love. If you'll pray, if you'll enter in, he'll actually help you. You're not stuck. There's stuff that you love that you don't want to love. Pray, God, direct my heart that I would love what I'm supposed to love. Direct my heart into your love. He will help you with this. I'll just tell you this. If you'll pray that prayer a lot, you'll be helped a lot. And if you don't pray that prayer at all, you're missing out on a lot of help God would give you if you would pray the Bible. This is Paul in 2 Thessalonians 3. He says, may the Lord, he's praying, Lord, help, direct my heart, because my heart without your help is going to go wherever my heart wants to go. And I really don't want that, because I know the affections of my heart are set on many things that I don't want them to be set on. Pray that the Lord would direct your hearts. Well, we've got some responsibility related to guarding our hearts. We've got some things that we've got to do with intentionality. You know, there is no relationship on planet Earth that you have that is good, solid, and growing accidentally. That's just not how it works. It requires intentionality. You got to guard some time. You got to guard some of the things that you want to say. Because even the person you love the most does something that really ticks you off. And if you tell them that in the way that you are feeling it in the moment, it will not go well for anyone. So there are some times where you just got to guard your mouth, guard yourself. And as we guard ourselves and as we guard our relationships, those relationships are cultivated. They're strengthened. We got to guard our heart related to the Lord. Guard our affections. Remember I told you, loving God with all our hearts, all about our affections. Look at Matthew 5:21. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What do you treasure? What gets you most excited? What is most fascinating to you? I just want to tell you, you want to be careful with that. It's not bad to have other things that are cool to you that you like, but you want to check the little, you know, whatever on your heart, figuring out how high is the blip and the height of, you know, of that moment when you're thinking about this thing, or this thing, as opposed to when you're talking about the Lord, thinking about the Lord, wanting to love the Lord. You got to guard your affections. Because it says right there, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. I know that passage is talking in part about money, because that's one of the ways we can pay attention to where we're at with our affections. That's one way. It's not the only way, though. Anything you treasure at any level has got a part in your heart. And we just want for God to have a lion's share. We want for our hearts, the things that we treasure, the things that we're most excited about, the things that we're most wanting to see, that our heart would grow in love. Because whatever it is you treasure in your heart, that will own your heart. Proverbs 4, you knew we were going to do this one. 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. We have got to guard what comes into our hearts. We've got to guard it. Now, let me just tell you this. Your circumstances do not dictate what gets into your heart. How you process your circumstances dictates what gets into your heart. A good thing or a bad thing, you've got guard. There are so many verses about us guarding our heart, meaning we actually can. God can't tell us to do something that's impossible. I'm just a victim of my circumstances. Whatever happens in my life happens in my heart. Not true. You can stand guard over your heart. And while things might be happening good or things might be happening bad, in either case, you want to be careful how much you let into your heart, because you can wind up actually so blessed that you're only thinking about your life and your blessings and things, and you're not even thinking about God. Or you can wind up with such difficult circumstances, you've let those things in, that now you've got all this traffic and stuff in your heart that wasn't ever supposed to get in there either. It could go either way. You can wind up just as off blessed or in difficult circumstances, just as off. Guard your heart. Guard how much you allow that thing to move you. Guard it. Don't feed it. Don't give in to feed the love for the Lord. Feed the pouring into my soul. Feed the dialogue with the Lord. You be careful. Above all else, Solomon says in Proverbs, he says, if you're good or if you're bad at anything, don't be bad at guarding your heart, because your heart is the wellspring of your life. It's the only way you're going to be able to live out the greatest commandment is if you've been careful with your heart. The heart is the essence of you. You are you, whether you're awake, asleep, in a coma, you are you. And you can guard whatever is coming into your heart. You have been given the power to guard it. You want to do that. Guard it from sin's desires. Romans 1:24, God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts. You want to be careful about those sinful desires. You want to be careful that they are not in your heart. There's a difference between a sinful desire that you fight off and a sinful desire that you water and cultivate in your heart. Big time difference. I get attacked all the time with sinful desires, all the time. But getting attacked is different than growing a sinful desire tree in your heart, where you think about it, you give over to it. You're like, okay, I got this desire. Nobody knows. It's just mine. I'm just going to feed it. I'm going to fuel it. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to give into it. I'm going to look into it. I'm going to try to figure out how to do it better. Don't give into those sinful desires. Let instead sinful desires come up against that shield and they deflect. Yes, you're getting attacked. Yes, it's miserable when you're attacked. Nobody likes getting attacked. But getting attacked and giving in are completely different. Don't give in to those sinful desires, because if you've got sinful desires that are growing in your heart as opposed to deflecting off, if you've got sinful desires, and here's what's even worse. So many of those sinful desires, they're already in your heart laying dormant. And every now and then they arise. Just don't feed them. Remember, the heart is incurable. You've got poison. You've got death in your own heart. You've got to guard yourself. Don't fuel those sinful desires, or they will grow up in your heart and they will choke out your love for God. They will choke it out. I don't like the fact that I've got sinful desires. I don't like that. But it's very different to feed it than it is to say no in Jesus' name. and then no in Jesus' name, and then no in Jesus' name. It's very different to fight the sinful desires than it is to give into them and fuel them. You cannot love the Lord your God with all your heart if you wind up giving into those sinful desires, because they will choke out your love for Jesus. Guard the heart from being weighed down. Luke 21:34. Be careful or your hearts will be weighed down. I want to read the rest of it right now. You guys, many of you probably know the verse. Just this thought process. Your heart can be weighed down, but you are in charge. He says, be careful. And if you're careful, your heart won't be weighed down. If you're not careful, your heart will be weighed down. Weighed down. Sometimes there's so much going on in our world. There's so much going on in our relationships, so much going on in our neighborhoods or whatever else that might be negative. And it will be weighing on you. You've got to decide to stop giving yourself to those things. There's sometimes, guys, where you just got to stop thinking about stuff. You got to stop feeding it, stop fueling it. Because if you don't, your heart will be weighed down. And if your heart's weighed down, your heart can't buoy up at the top of the water and feel God. When your heart's weighed down, it doesn't matter what else you're doing, you're not feeling God. Even if he's standing right next to you, your heart's too weighed down to even feel his presence. Jesus says, you're in charge. You can guard your heart. You can be careful that your heart wouldn't be weighed down. Now listen, part of what I'm doing today, I'm just trying to give you some ammunition for your prayer life. I'm trying to help you take some of these ideas and go, God, I mean, you did say be careful or my heart will be weighed down. So if my heart's weighed down right now, there must be some measure of control I have over that. Help me see it. Help me overcome. Help me not be weighed down. I want to try to help empower you to love God with all your heart and give you some tools for you to go and talk to the Lord about. Check this one, Deuteronomy 4:9. Guard what's in our hearts from fading. This is intense. Be careful, there it is again. Watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things that your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. The good things that you believe, that you want, that you have in God, they can fade if you're not careful. This is actually an important detail to know because, once again, the heart's incurable. We love the idea of collecting. You know, we love this idea. I get the thing. I bought it once. There it is. It's on the shelf. I never have to buy it again. It says, but here's how this works in the kingdom. It's all organic and flowy. And if you're not careful, there are things that you have attained to, experienced, believed, fought for that are totally 100% real today. And if you're not careful, they can fade from your hearts. Part of the way that we do that is the way that we keep them is we do not forget, we remember. What has the Lord done? Why did I do that? Why do I believe that? What does the Word of God say about that thing again? I love that Sherry helps us every Sunday remember why we tithe. Like, why am I doing that? What is that about? Why? Because it's such an important part of life, but it's also a costly one. So it's like, please remind me why I'm doing this thing again. It's good to be reminded. It's good to remember what the Lord has done, what he said, what he's asked. It's good to remember. You want to think on those things. Don't think about all the negative stuff. Listen, I want to tell you, you have 10,000 negative things happening in your life. Stop giving so much time and attention to them. Just stop. Instead, remember what the Lord has done, and this will guard you. Last one we'll look at in regards to guarding, and then we'll talk about how to move forward, is guarding from offense. Hebrews 12:14-15. Make every effort to live at peace with everyone and to be holy. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. You can't love God with all your heart if you've got a bitter root growing in your heart. I want to tell you, if you feel like you've got bitterness growing, that is human. That is normal. Just pluck the thing out. Stop giving attention to it. No, you don't understand. This thing happened to me. Jesus had a thing happen to him too. All right? And the word of the Holy Spirit is the word of Christ. Let no bitter root grow up in your heart. Jesus up there, crucified for nothing he did, says, Father, I forgive them. Forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. They knew darn well what they were doing. I promise you, those that Jesus was forgiving that day, you can forgive whoever it is that's messed you over. Whatever situation, don't let a bitter root grow up. Not even, I mean, in this conversation, in this just isolated moment, if only so you can do the greatest commandment. If for no other reason, and there's 10 other reasons, but if for no other reason, forgive them. Don't let a bitter root grow up in your heart so you can love God. Because if you let that bitter root grow up, you will be of no use to the greatest commandment. It will not be operating in you. Yeah, but they were really mean. They really did the thing. I'm not saying they weren't. I'm saying don't let a bitter root grow up. Maybe they really did it. Maybe it's twice as bad as you think. There's details that haven't even come out yet. It was really bad. And then what they did to your dog. Oh, I know. It's okay. Just don't let a bitter root grow up. It'll destroy the greatest commandment in you. All right, so what do? We invest the word of God into our hearts. This is a significant way that we deal with the area of growing love in our heart. We treat an investment of the word of God, the Bible, reading it, singing it, praying it, repeating it, memorizing it. We take the word of God and we invest it into our heart like we're investing in the stock market. And we believe if I'll make this investment, it will grow. If I put the word of God in me, it will do good stuff and it will transform me because there's power on the word of God. There's not power on anything else. I like a good action movie, but there's no power in it to my soul. There's no power in it to the way I live and to my heart. There's power in the word of God. So when I invest the word of God into me, something eternal is happening. There's an eternal transaction happening. I'm on earth in a temporal plane, yet I'm investing in the eternal word of God and I'm putting it in me. And when we do that, it multiplies in us. It empowers our heart. Let me read you some verses. Store up the word within you. Proverbs 2, 1 through 2. Check this out. Store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. You can apply your heart to understanding by storing up the word of God in it. You meditate on the word, you read the word, you digest the word, you believe the word, you tell God the Bible verse, you tell him, I don't believe that Bible verse, help me. I mean, it's in there, so it's gotta be right, I just don't like it. Help me, fix it, fix me. I'm incurable, man. Do you know me? Incurable. I'm reading this Bible verse, I don't like it. I don't want it, but I know I should. So help me. God will help you. Store up his commands. Store up the word of God within you that you might be able to apply your heart to understanding. Proverbs 3:3 says, write it on your heart. Love, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind love and faithfulness around your neck. Write love and faithfulness on the tablet of your heart. Write it on your heart. Write the word of God. Write God's truths on your heart. You're in charge. You can write that on your heart. When we take the word of God, you might even want to picture this as part of your exercise to reach, to love the Lord your God with all your heart. You might even want to picture your heart as a tablet or an iPad, probably an iPad. And you're taking it, and you're taking the word, but you're writing it on the iPad of your heart. And now it's in there. Now it's hardwired. Now it's inside. And when you do that, there's a transaction that's occurring. There's value, there's strength, because there's other things being written on your heart in the course of the day, month, and year. You want the word of God written on it, loudly, repeatedly. You want that thing, you know, just etched so deep into you. And then you want to take these teachings of Jesus to heart. Deuteronomy 32, 46 says, take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day. Ezekiel 3:10 said, he said to me, son of man, listen carefully and take to heart all the words I speak to you. Here's what I'm trying to communicate with this, or what the word is trying to communicate. We can either hear the words from the Word of God, from the Holy Spirit. We can either hear them and do nothing, or we can hear them and take them to heart. We can take them. See, you have power to take the Word of God to heart. But I want to tell you, the default will not be that. The default will be the opposite. You have power to take the Word of God to your heart and make it real and make it loud and make it true. You can say, oh God, I'm listening to this word. I'm reading this Bible verse. I'm hearing this teaching. I'm agreeing with this song that I'm singing. And God, I'm taking those words that are true. I'm taking them into my heart. You want to learn that process, what that looks like between you and the Lord. If you're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. That just sounds weird and mystical. It's Bible verses. So if it's weird and mystical, it's also true. So just get over it if it's weird and mystical. Go with the Bible. You want to learn how to take the Word of God to heart. And if you're like, I don't even know what that looks like. I don't know what to do in my life about that. Start talking to the Lord about it today. Lord, how do I not just hear the Bible? How do I not just hear the song being sung? How do I take it deep within me? How do I ponder these things in my heart? How do I get them in there deep? Because the more of the Word of God that you have in your heart, the more ruled you will be by truth. The more empowered you will be to do the greatest commandment. Because the Bible has power and no other book does. The Word of God is truth and is power. The Word of God resets, replumb lines, redefines truth. So many times in our life, and man, in this generation, are we constantly confronted with ideas that are false and they sound so good. How will you know the Word of God written in your heart? The Word of God that digested in you. Plumb line that we go, the Word is true, let every man be a liar. When we have the Word in us, we're empowered to love Him. We're empowered to obey Him. It's how we position our hearts. I got so much left. I got pages of this. I'm just going to stop. I don't even know what to do.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.